This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast. Good morning and welcome on the 5th of January, 2026. I'm Andy Eubank, and the HAT podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. On the HAT podcast, Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller report the HAT news with stories on a change in the U.S. rail industry, and cattle producers thrived in 2025, the opposite of corn and soybean farmers. The Indiana Farm Forecast with HAT Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin calls for a warm-up starting today. And Friday's markets again, quiet and lower. Analysis with Brian Basting on the HAT Monday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, equal opportunity lender, member FDIC.
It takes focus, dedication, and vision to run a successful farming operation. Those are the same qualities that we at Hoosier Ag Today have in our work of bringing you the information you need every day. With the largest farm broadcast team in the state, we have the resources to cover Indiana agriculture. That's why we are the most listened to and most trusted ag media source in the Hoosier State. We are Hoosier Ag Today, heard daily on this station.
A rail merger that would impact agriculture and the tale of two farm economies. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News, brought to you by the Fort Wayne Farm Show. Returning to the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum January 13th through the 15th, admission is free. A proposed merger could mean a big change for the U.S. railroad industry. Union Pacific is working to acquire Norfolk Southern, which would create the nation's first transcontinental railroad. Mike Steenhook, executive director of the Soy Transportation Coalition, says there's been positive and negative reactions from agricultural shippers. Those in support,
they point to the fact that you're going to likely have more seamless service from one area of the country to the next. So you'll have an agricultural shipper that has a collection of facilities that are west of the Mississippi River, and they would like to have greater access to maybe some of the livestock markets in the southeast part of the United States or to the East Coast where for the ports over there, say if there's problems at West Coast ports or markets in the West. So you have this prospect for more seamless service.
The merger would mean fewer handoffs between railroad companies.
One of the realities within supply chains is that handoffs are expensive, but because you have a couple Western railroads, a couple Eastern railroads, you have a collection of these handoff locations like Chicago, like Memphis, Kansas City, etc. And freight does not like to be treated like a baton in a track and field relay race. The more you can eliminate handoffs, the better.
Those against the merger say this isn't their first rodeo. Acquisitions like this over the years have often led to higher rates and a decline in service.
And for agriculture and other industries, what you want is as many transportation providers competing for your business. That's good for us. And when all of a sudden you start eliminating or reducing those transportation providers, you start changing that competitive balance away from the customer, agricultural shippers in our case, toward the railroad. So rightfully, there's a number of shippers who are very concerned about this.
The purchase agreement is awaiting approval from the Surface Transportation Board.
Farmers, the Fort Wayne Farm Show celebrates 37 great years at the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, January 13th to the 15th. The area's largest variety of farm equipment and services, and the latest technology, educational seminars presented daily. Register to win the grand prize, a Toro Time Cutter zero-turn lawnmower courtesy of Plevna Implement. Admission is free.
The Fort Wayne Farm Show is next week, January 13th through 15th at the War Memorial Coliseum in Fort Wayne, open late Wednesday until 8.
Last year was a tale of two farm economies. C.J. Miller reports how cattle producers thrived in 2025, while corn and soybean producers struggled.
On the livestock side, things have been pretty good.
And that's Seth Meyer, former chief economist with USDA. He's now the head of the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri.
We've seen record high feeder and fed cattle prices. Beef demand has been really resilient. It's spilled into overall protein demand.
One factor that's been driving beef prices higher is that cattle herds are at their lowest levels in decades. But it's been a completely different story altogether for America's corn, soybean, and wheat producers, as many felt the squeeze in 2025.
As commodity prices have come down for their 22-23 peak, we haven't necessarily seen the same moderation in the input price side, and that tends to squeeze margins pretty significantly.
In addition to last year's trade disruptions, including a Chinese boycott on U.S. soybeans for nearly half the year, many farmers chose to plant more corn acres than soybean acres. And last August, USDA had projected a record corn crop for 2025.
A big shift from the June acreage report to the August FSA-based acreage reporting data, where we found a bunch more corn acres and saw it come at the expense to some extent of soybean acres.
Meyer says the USDA's $12 billion Farmer Bridge Assistance Program should help alleviate some of the stress that corn and soybean producers are currently facing.
Into the coming year, we're talking about bridge payments, which I think the secretary has described as a method to get us to the safety net programs of the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, ARC and PLC payments in the fall.
Read the full story at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farmers know that hard work has its rewards. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America has designed our operating loans to work just as hard for you in return. Earn 1.5% cash back on all purchases when you connect your operating loan to our disbursement card. Because in times like these, some extra cash back never hurts. Visit fcma.com/operating to learn more. Disbursement card for use with an operating loan. Operating loans are subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. An interesting week opening up ahead of us here this week. Warm air is expanding over the entire eastern corn belt. Now that warm air expansion starts today with the remains of a warm front passing over the Great Lakes region. Ahead of that warm front, we actually saw a decent amount of precipitation fire off over Michigan and even back into eastern Wisconsin last night into early this morning. I do not look for any of this to work its way down into Indiana, but I do think that we start the day with clouds, at least in the northern part of the state, that are indicative of that system passing by to the north. Warm flow continues through the day tomorrow, through Wednesday, through Thursday. Tomorrow, we've got a minor disturbance that comes across northern Iowa, southern Minnesota, and into central Wisconsin, eventually trying to pass by mostly to the north. Once again, US 24 southward, I don't think we see anything and actually end up with a mix of clouds and sunshine. It's that northern third of the state where I think life is a little more interesting. Definitely seeing better cloud potential for Tuesday. At this point, I'm going to want to keep most rain action to the north of the Indiana-Michigan line, but I won't rule out a few spits and sprinkles in northern tier counties. We'll have to watch the track of that low closely. Right now it is farther north. Wednesday is going to be dry all the way through and, well, warmer, so that gives us a moist feel overall. And then Thursday, we start to see some moisture coming up from the southwest. It's not right away. I think we start Thursday with partly sunny skies in the north, increasing clouds in the south. Clouds eventually fill in over the entire state with rain starting mid to late afternoon in central and southern parts of Indiana. Rain continuing then through the evening and overnight into Friday. All in, all done, a quarter to 1 inch of rain with coverage at 100% of the Hoosier state. Secondary surge of moisture comes when the actual cold front wants to come through, and that's going to be overnight Friday night into Saturday morning. I think there we only end up with about 40 to 50% coverage of an additional tenth to half an inch, focusing a little bit more on the northern part of the state than the south, but let's not get too choosy at where it comes. Behind that, though, we are chilly for the balance of Saturday afternoon with a lot of clouds. Chilly and windy on Sunday. I won't rule out some lake effect snow up in northern parts of Indiana, but generally just looking at cold air holding here through that next week. Monday, Tuesday, we are chilly. I do think we start to see some temperature moderation trying to work in from the west and southwest the second half of that week. So from Wednesday the 14th in the afternoon on through Thursday the 15th, so on and so forth. Not probably looking at quite as much of a moderating push as what we're seeing here this week, but the idea here is bitter cold is not locked in to stay long term. Definitely seeing some yo-yoing back and forth. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great day. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
The first session of 2026, lower for corn, beans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. It's the Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Andy Eubank, and I'll have final numbers coming up. We'll begin with commentary from Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. I checked in with him to get his thoughts in the middle of the Friday session. We ring in a new year, but unfortunately, the trend seems to be continuing with lower markets, and we're at 2.5-month lows in soybeans as we go lower in corn, beans, and wheat to start the year. Brian, not a real pretty picture at the moment.
Thanks for having me, Andy. First, I'd like to wish all your listeners a happy new year here as we start off 2026. And markets are weaker. We're seeing the soybean market under pressure from really good growing conditions in South America. It looks like nearly ideal finishing for the growing season in Brazil. And Brazil has actually started just a tiny bit of harvest, but that'll accelerate here later in January and really pick up in February. And at the moment, certainly most are penciling in record soybean production in Brazil. And those exports will begin later here in January and really pick up in February and accelerate quite a bit then in March and April. And I think that the U.S. window of opportunity in the export market is closing as that anticipation builds of those bushels entering the world pipeline. The corn market is hanging in there just above the mid-December lows, looking at some good growing conditions for the Argentina early corn. It's been a bit dry, but not terribly dry. It's not a drought or 100 degrees. But some of that early corn in Argentina is pollinating, and most forecasts for production are still pretty good at the moment. I don't want to put that crop as being made yet. In contrast, for example, most of the Brazilian beans are made now. But regardless, without that South American weather influence, just the sheer volume of our crop last fall has been enough to weigh on both markets, and actually new contract lows here as we wrap up the week in wheat market too.
You mentioned corn is hanging in there. Is that largely due to the corn export picture being quite different than soybeans?
Yes, you're spot on. We continue to see really, really good export sales. The USDA will catch up on their export sales reporting on Monday the 5th, January 5th. So they finally caught up. They will catch up on all the export sales reports, and all the recent reports have confirmed very aggressive sales in that tail end of 2025 calendar year. We continue to see very strong export liftings also as we start this new year here in calendar year 2026. And I think we're going to see a strong shipment total during the Dec-Jan-Feb period. So that's helping to absorb that huge crop that we harvested last fall here in the U.S. And we're seeing very strong ethanol production also. Ethanol production was a record high a couple of weeks ago. And so that's helping too. So that's at least providing some support on the corn side.
A week from Monday, it's the USDA January crop report supply and demand update. And that one will be very, very important for a couple of reasons. Tell us about it.
It will be very important. And I'd encourage your listeners from a risk management standpoint, Andy, to have their marketing positions in place prior to the release of those reports on Monday, January 12th at noon Eastern time. And the reason is I went back and did a little bit of research, and historically, not every year, but there have been a number of years here recently where we've seen some significant moves in the market on the day that those reports were released. There's several reports are being released. They're going to update the final crop size, the USDA is, for 2025, corn, beans. And they're going to give us an estimate then of grain stocks report. It's called the grain stocks report. It only comes out four times a year. It comes out in January, March, June, and September. So the reason that this report is so important, the grain stocks, is because it'll give us an indication of the amount of corn feeding that took place during September, October, November. So we'll get an idea of whether or not these low prices did result in some significant corn feeding or not, and whether that justifies the USDA's aggressive stance on corn feeding in their supply-demand report, which will also be updated on January 12th. The third report to be updated will be the supply-demand report. That's our usual monthly supply-demand report. Of course, that report will incorporate the crop size to them. And finally, we'll also get a first survey-based estimate of winter wheat seedings. It was taken the first 2 weeks in December. So a lot of reports coming out that day. Certainly the potential for price volatility. And again, encourage your listeners to have the marketing positions in place prior to the release of all those reports.
Brian Basting of Advanced Trading. You can chat with him at 309-664-2314. Now the Friday settlements, March and May corn ended down 2 3/4. March contract goes to 437.5, May 445.5, and July 452 down 2.5 cents. Near even in beans by the close, January down just a penny, 1029.5. March 10.45 3/4 down a penny and 3/4, and May 10.58.5, 2.5 lower. Fractional losses for the wheat market, March 5.06.5 down a half, May down a quarter at 5.18.25. A strong live cattle futures market, February ended up $4.40 at 2.36 even. February lean hogs 84.10 down a dollar. I'm Ian to Eubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.